Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chof, and we're learning today Lila Nishmas Frida Rozansky, Fredel Bas Shlomo. All the shams we learn for should have an aliyah. We begin already quite far down on Amud Aleph on Daf Chof, the start of the medium-sized lines, two lines into it, with the words Tanur Rabbanan. We had a very beautiful and famous story yesterday about Nakdima Ben Gurion, and we're already halfway down the Amud. So we begin Chof Amud Aleph, two lines into the wider, medium-sized lines, Tanur Rabbanan. And we quote the following braisa, Tanur Rabbanan. Shlosha nikdimo lehem chamo bavurin. We had the story yesterday about Nakdima Ben Gurion, how the sun pierced through the clouds, or the sun stayed up later in the eastern sky. It didn't set in the west so quickly in order to allow the miracle that occurred that we discussed with the mice of Nakdima Ben Gurion and the Goyisha Adon. So there are two other cases where the sun stayed out longer. Shlosha nikdimo lehem chamo bavurin. There are three cases where we have in Tanakh or in stories from Chazal that the sun stayed out late in order to perform a miracle, and this is for Moshe Rabbeinu, for Yoshua, and the story from Nakdima Ben Gurion from yesterday. So Gemara says, Bishlam and Nakdima Ben Gurion, that's the Gemara that we had yesterday. Yoshua Nami, we also have a story about Yoshua, that's from Tanakh, Kro. We have Psukim that say specifically, as it says in Yoshua, Dersiv, Vayidom HaShemesh, V'yoreach, Omad, V'gomer. So we have a specific pasuk, a story in Tanakh, in the Navi Yoshua, teaching us about how Hashem made the sun stay out later for Yoshua, and it didn't set. What's the Maisa with Moshe Rabbeinu? We don't find that in Tanakh Beferish. So I'm Rabbi Elazar. I have three different sources. The first one for this is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says it's the Xer Rishova Asya Ochel Ochel. We find that it says the words Ochel in two places. Number one, it says Xiv Ochel, it says in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ochel Teis Pach Decha, I will go and put the fear of you upon all the other nations of the world. And it says, Uxiv Hasim, in regards to Yoshua with the story, so it says over there, Ochel Gadlecha, I will also make you great at the beginning. And therefore, we had this Gzei Rishava, Ochel Ochel, just like Yeshua was made great by the sun standing still, so too by Moshe Rabbeinu, the sun stood still. That's the first opinion. Second opinion is Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, he says, there's a different Gzei Rishava, Asya, Teis, Teis. This Gzei Rishava is from the words Teis. It says, I'll be by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ksivacho, Ochel, Teis, Pachto. I will begin to put the fear of you in all the nations. Uksiv, Hasam, and it says, in regards to Yoshua, Yom Teis Hashem Esu Amori. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the fear of Yoshua into the Amori. And therefore, we see that the connection between the story of Yoshua and the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, the third and final reason where we see by Moshe Rabbeinu that there was a miracle with the sun is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, he says, it's from the story itself of Moshe Rabbeinu, Asya mi guvei dekra, from the Pesukim that talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, you can see this idea. What's the Pasuk? So we bring down the Pasuk in the Devarim. It says, Asher yishmu'un shimacha v'yrogzu v'chalu mipanecha. They'll hear about you, and they're going to be very, very much afraid. V'chalu mipanecha. So here, what would they be hear about Moshe Rabbeinu? Emasai rogzu v'chalu mipanecha. What made them go and tremble and be fearful of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's because they heard the story. B'shah shenikdema lo chama l'moshe. Because the sun had stayed in the eastern area. It hadn't gone west. And Moshe Rabbeinu had that nes performed for him. So therefore, this is, Rabbi Yochanan says, you learn it from the story itself. You can figure it out. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, we said that sometimes there could be a calamity that could come on one city, but not seemingly on the surrounding cities. And I explained then what the Gemara is now telling us now, that Amar Yehuda Marav, Rabbi Yehuda Marav tells us that this is actually to be darshaned in a negative way. Don't think that, oh, the city that doesn't have rain, that's bad for them. But the surrounding cities that do have rain, it's good for them. So Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, Ushtayim l'kol, it's actually bad for both of them. The city that doesn't have rain is obviously going to have a drought and not have rain. But the city that has rain nearby them has too much rain, and they actually have a flood. And therefore, that's not good as well. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, darshens is actually in a very negative way on both sides. As opposed to that, now the Gemara gives us a number of scenarios where Rav Yehuda Amar Rav darshens what seemingly is a negative pasuk in a positive way. So the first one is Hoysa Yushalayim Lenida Benehem. We have the famous pasuk from Necha Nebuch, which says that Yushalayim is going to be like a Nida amongst all the other nations of the world. The Nida is a woman who is distanced from everyone. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, he says, no, that's actually Levracha. That's a positive thing that Klal Yisrael is referred to as a Nida. Yushalayim is referred to as a Nida. And it says, just like so this is actually a bracha that when you refer to Yerushalayim, Klal Yisrael as a nida, Anida will ultimately become Tahora and will be mutter again to her husband. So too, Klai Yisrael, right now, Nebuch, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're like Anida, we are set aside, we're separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Ezus Hashem, the Meher Yomeinu, Mashiach will come and will be restored, just like Anida has eventually Heter by going to the Mikvah, so too Klai Yisrael will eventually have a Tahara and be restored to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another pasuk to view the Rav Darshan's Libracha is, it says also in Echa Hoysa Ke Almona, the Klai Yisrael Yushalayim, we refer to as like an Almona. And here we just have Rav Yehuda, it doesn't say it over the name of Rav, Amar Rav Yehuda, Livracha, that this is also darshan in a positive way, because it says Ke Almona, we're like an Almona, but below Almona Mamish, but not a real Almona, because a real Almona Nebuch lost her husband. But Ke Almona is like an Almona. In what way are we referred to as being like an Almona, but not a real Almona? Ella, we're like Isha Sholach Balo Levdina Sayam. But like a husband that's away on a business trip, so the woman is like an Almona, and she doesn't have a husband right now. But Be'ezus Hashem, the husband is returning, and therefore Be'ezus Hashem, we too will return to the fold with Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'meirah b'yameinu. So therefore, v'daito lachzor leho, so it's ke Almona and not an actual Almona. Another pasuk here again, Rabbi Yehuda darshens this l'tov l'bracha, says v'gamani nasati eskan nivzim u'shifalim. The pasuk of Malachi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I make you, Klai Yisrael, to be considered nivzim, that means to be hated, and ushvalim, and very low, very not significant in the eyes of the other nations of the world. So again, this sounds like it's a curse, but Amar Yehuda Livracha, this is also a positive thing. Because why is it positive? By the fact that the nations of the world will consider us nivzim ushvalim, or at least the people of the world, according to some, will consider us nivzim ushvalim, even though the leaders of those nations don't, they're not going to appoint us to certain jobs that are not very pleasant. The lo mukme minon, they're not going to appoint Jewish people to be lo reshe nahare. Rashi explains that reshe nahare are muhsin, those are tax collectors. Now, tax collectors in those days are not like the tax collectors nowadays. Now, this person works for the IRS. He's a regular person. He does what the law says, and he takes exactly what they're supposed to take from you, and that's expected and halachically required to go and pay him. The other hand, in the olden days, they used to sell the rights. The king says, listen, I want $100,000 from this region, and you buy this for me, you give me $100,000, and now the region's yours. So the guy says, sure, I'm going to be the tax collector, but I'm going to collect $200,000, and that's how I'll make my profit, and I'll take it from whoever I want. So therefore, tax collectors were the lowest of the low, and therefore, Klai Yisrael was zolche over here, that the Goyim didn't think highly of us, so they didn't appoint us as tax collectors, because the tax collectors had to be people that everybody feared and everybody was worried about. So since the Jewish people were not feared and nobody worried about us, so actually it was a positive thing that they didn't appoint us as these reshe nari. And likewise, they didn't appoint us as lo gazir pati. Gazir pati, Rashi says, are sardyotin. There are certain types of officers. And again, Rashi says, miro bizoyin. Since they didn't think us high enough, they didn't appoint us to be these sardyotin, which are like police officers, but in a negative connotation. Certainly nothing wrong with being a good police officer. But in those days, the police officers were not considered a positive thing, and they were all doing things that were inappropriate. So therefore, they never appointed us. So therefore, it was a bracha that they didn't think highly of us. And the last pasuk that we're going to darshan says, V'yikah Hashem es Yisrael kasher yonud hakoneh b'mayim. A pasuk from Malachim Aleph, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Klai Yisrael like a kona. A kona is a reed, which doesn't sound very, very impressive. That is, yonud hakoneh b'mayim. It's constantly being blown about in the water. So again, Amar Yehuda, and here he says it in the name of Rav, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Livracha. This also is a very positive statement. And here we're going to darshan this for a little bit. And he says, Dama Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonah's son. He brings down in the name of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, the name of Rabbi Yonah's son. My disciple, what does the puzzle mean when it says, Ne'amonim pitse ohev, v'natoros nishiko sone, that it's much, much better to get a wound, a petza, from somebody who loves you, than to be praised by somebody or get kisses by somebody who hates you. So this is an expression that explains as follows. Tova klolo, it is much better to curse Shekilo Achia HaShiloni. Achia HaShiloni was a great Navi. And it's much better to be cursed by Achia HaShiloni when he cursed Es Yisrael, when he cursed Klai Yisrael. Much, much better Yosem, the bracha, than the, quote, bracha, Shebircham Bilam HaRasha. The Bilam Rosh gave us, including the famous Matovo Alech Yaakov. And before Shem will say that everything the Bilam said was intended to be a curse, although it sounded like a bracha, and it ended up being a curse for Klai Yisrael, as opposed to Achia Shiloni's curse, which ended up actually being a bracha for Klai Yisrael. Why is that? Achia Shiloni kilon bekone. Achia Shiloni, he cursed us by referring to us as a reed. Again, why is that positive? Omalem Yisrael, said to Klai Yisrael, V'ikah Hashem Yisrael, kasher yonod hakoneh b'mayim. So this pasuk that we have We just said that Klaiso is going to be like a reed that's blowing in the water. So that's a positive. It sounds negative, but it's really positive. Ma konezeh, just like this reed is omei b'moko mayim, is in the water. That's actually a good place to be, because for a reed to be in water, so that is supplying it its nourishment. So that's actually a positive thing to say that this reed is in the water. And likewise, if you were to go and cut off part of this reed, it will continue to grow. It doesn't die. So v'gizo machlif, its geza, its stalk, will regrow. Machlif will be changed and grow back. V'sharosha berubim, and because it's in this area here, it has plenty of water, and it can have a large amount of roots. Sharosha berubim, which again stations it very strongly. And therefore, v'afilu kol ruach hashem olam bos, even if all the winds of the world come, v'noshes bo, and blow on it, ein mizizos oso mimikomo, it doesn't budge it, it doesn't move it from its place, because it may sway in the wind, but it's never going to be uprooted, because it has this deep-rooted system. And therefore, l'holechu bo imayim, it blows and blows and blows in the winds, but it doesn't get uprooted. And finally, damu haruchos, when the winds stop, so then it stays there again. Omar hakona bimkomo, it stands straight up again like it was beforehand. And this is a reference to Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael, we're blown in the winds of the world, but we're so deeply rooted, we're so strong in our belief with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that despite all the persecutions that we've had, despite Nebuch, all the terror and all the horrible things and atrocities that have been committed to the Jewish people, so we blow in the wind, Nebuch, we blow sometimes very far and sway back and forth, but ultimately when those persecutors are taken care of and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets rid of those winds, those persecutions, so then we stand straight back up again. So therefore, Achia Shiloni's quote, curse that we should be Yonud HaKone B'mayim, is actually a praise for us and a bracha for us. As opposed to Abu Bilam HaRosha, Bilam HaRosha, when he gave us the bracha, he blessed us Birchon B'Eres, he blessed us to be like strong like a cedar tree, which sounds like a great bracha. As the pasuk says, that Bilam referred to us Shenemar Ka'arozim. Now we have in parentheses the words Alimoyim because we're focusing on the Arozim right now. So Ma Erez, this cedar tree, Eino Omei B'Mokomayim, it's not standing in Mokomayim. The pasuk says Alimayim, so that in fact is not what Bilam said. As Rashi points out, V'Afagav Dixit B'Kor Ka'arozim Alimoyim, Hahu Lav Bilam Komarle. That wasn't Bilam. Bilam said you should be just like Arozim, and then the Malach came along and he said that you shall be Alimoyim. Hamalach notoyo dein yaveshim liolim. And the Malach, so to say, added on, even though we're like cedar trees, but we're never going to be without water, even though a cedar tree may not always be near the water. In any event, so Bilam says, this was his real intention, he was cursing us, not to always be strong like a cedar tree, which sounds like a great praise. He says, no, ma erezeh ein omid b'mokomayim. Normally, Arozim don't necessarily stay, are planted by mokomayim. And that's where the Malach had to add Alimoyim. And likewise, in Gizomachlif, if you cut down a cedar tree, it doesn't grow back. It actually doesn't have a lot of deep roots. And in fact, if a hurricane comes along, you see these massive trees are sometimes blown over. So they don't budge at all when the tree, they don't really sway until they're uprooted. However, when the southern wind comes along, which is like a hurricane, that's a really strong wind, it maybe it doesn't cause the tree to sway, but what it does is okarto, it uproots it, vofachto upon it, and it flips it over on its face. In other words, it's not so good to be like a cedar tree. It's much better to be like the reed. And therefore, that is why Achia Shiloni gave us a bracha, even though it sounded like a curse, and Bilam HaRosha gave us a curse, even though it sounded like a bracha. And finally, this brisa concludes and says, V'lo od, el shezocha kona lito lemenu kolmus, lichtobo sefer Torah nevi'im ksuvim. In addition, the reeds are used to make a quill, and the quill is used to go and write Sifrei Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, to write Tanakh, to write the Tefillin, to write mezuzahs, and therefore that's an additional wonderful thing about being a reed. Gemara continues on this subject and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learn another braisa, La'olam yehe adam rach kikone. Person should be always rach kikone. Not only should Klai Yisrael be referred to as rach kikone, but a person has to be rach kikone, and he shouldn't be vaye kasha kikone. A person shouldn't be hard and fast in their ways like an erez, like a cedar tree. And now we're going to bring down a maisa that is almost impossible to understand in the literal sense. And in fact, we'll see Rashi says that this is a maisa between this great Gadol, this great Tana, and Eliyahu HaNavi. So obviously something deeper is going on over here. And I'll try to just explain this in a way that we can begin to understand it. But this is a very deep maisa over here, very difficult to understand maisa. And there's some different gersos over here, and I'll point that out as well. So we start off with this maisa. Sheba Rabbi Elazar. Now the gersa that we have is Ben Rabbi Shimon. It should be Bir Rabbi Shimon, Mimigdal Gedor. That's the gersa that we have in our Gemara, with a slight variation already. But then, in the Ovis the Rabbi Nosson, which you can see on the side, it brings down that is a different gears over here, and that should be, it should be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So we're not sure, is this Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? And in our gears, it came from Migdal Gedor, and the gears in the Ovis the Rabbi Nosson, it comes from Migdal Eder. Again, I'm not sure which Tana this is, and maybe it's best that we don't know exactly which Tana this is, because the story is not putting this Tana initially in such a great light, although this Tana is a Tana and an unbelievably great individual, and that's why I'm scared almost to read this story. In any event, whether it was Elazar or Shimon, or it was Rabbi Shimon or Elazar, he came from his Rebbe's house. Shabbat, he was coming, this Tana, from wherever he was coming from, Migdal Gedor or Migdal Eder, mi base Rabbo, from his Rebbe's house, and was riding on a donkey, and umetayel asfas hanohar. The Girsa that we have is he was traveling on the riverbank. In the Girsa, in the Kaftor Vaperach, it says he was Asfas Hayom, which is the Yam Tiberia, that he was by the Tiberian Sea, by the Kinneret. And he's traveling over there, and he's in a very good mood. Vasomach Simcha Gedola Vaisa Dato Gasolab. He just came from his Rebbe. They just finished that learning Seder. He was saying, wow, I've learned so much Torah this past semester. It was a fantastically good Zman for me. And he was having great simcha about all the Torah that he learned. And he became a little bit arrogant. He was impressed with himself. Because he, Baruch Hashem, had learned a lot of Torah. And that's one of the dangers of being a big Talmid Chacham, is that sometimes you can get very, very self-aggrandized and think, wow, I'm really a big Talmid Chacham. And in return to the Omid Beis, Chafu Mid Beis, to continue the story. And again, is Damilo Odom Echad, Shaya Mechur Biyoseh. He meets up with a person. Rashi and Tosus over here both say that there's a Svarim that write that this is Elio Zohar Tov. This is Elio Novi. And he specifically came to him because he was a little bit arrogant at this point in time to humble him. Tosos says that this story can be found in Maseches Derech Eretz, but on the side it says that in our Girsa, Maseches Derech Eretz, we don't find this story. It must have been a different Girsa. In any event, the whole purpose of this is Elio is coming to teach him that this character trait of this arrogance is not acceptable at all on any level. Therefore, Elio Hanavi had to come and teach him a lesson. So Amalo, so this person, i.e. Elio Hanavi, but we'll call him this Adam Echad, he came to say hello, Shalom Aleichem, to either Rabbi Shimon Elazar or Elazar Shimon, whichever one it was. Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe. He said Shalom Aleichem to him. Now, Velo Hechzilo. We'll call it Elazar Rishimon. That's the gear that we have. Could be Rishimon Elazar. He did not return to him Aleichem Shalom. He didn't give him back Shalom. And in fact, he was upset that he had given him Shalom Aleichem. Now, there are many different ways to understand this. What made him upset? The best and simplest way to understand this is that somehow, in his saying Shalom Aleichem to him, this Mechur Adam, this Elio Navi, who was disguised as an ugly person, apparently did something that was terribly wrong. And he was inappropriate in some way, he was chutzpahdik in some way, his actions were not proper. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar Shimon responded back to him in a negative way, in a stern way. And Amalo, he told him, Reka, you empty one, you person that is devoid of beauty. Now, devoid of beauty shouldn't be understood in a literal sense, although that may have been what the person misinterpreted it intentionally, that this Adam Echad personally interpreted it as being his physical appearance, which was ugly. But Mistama, what Elazar Shimon was telling him was, you Reka, you person who are devoid of positive characteristics in your character, not your physical lack of beauty. And he told him, Elazar Shimon told this Adam Echad, again, Elio disguised as this very ugly person, Kama Mechur Osuish, how ugly are you? Right? So again, I think the proper and right way to understand this is saying how ugly are your character traits, and not that he was talking about his physical ugliness. Shema kol b'nei yircha mechorin kamoscha. It must be that everybody around you had terrible character traits and they rubbed off on you, and that's why you have such terrible character traits. That's why you're, quote, so ugly. And Amalo, Elio disguises this very ugly person, tells him, any of that? I don't know. However, go and ask the person who made me why he made me so ugly. Elalech be'amor le'uman she'asa'ani. Go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kama mechur kli ze'esho sisi. And go complain to God why he made me so ugly. Immediately, Shimon Elazar, whoever it was, realized that they were acting incorrectly and that they'd made a mistake. So Kivin showed the Biyatzul Shechot, he immediately realized that the way he responded was incorrect, that this person took it obviously as a bigger insult than was intended. So Yarei ben Achamor immediately gets off his donkey, then he shtatech lefon him, and he bows down in front of him, and he begs him for mechila. Amalo na'nesi lecha. He says to him, I spoke too much. That's what Rashi says. Rashi in Brachu says that dibarti yoser min aroy. This word na'nesi means I spoke too much, more than was appropriate. Yoser min aroy. Rashi in Ksuba says a slightly different gear, so he says dibarti yoser midai. I spoke too much. So I spoke too much, and I didn't say what I should have said, and I apologize for you. Please forgive me. Mechol li. So almost immediately, Elazar Shimon realizes he did something wrong. And he begs for forgiveness from this Adam Mechur, who is really Eliyahu Navi. So Amar Lo, this Adam Mechur says, Eini malchalach. No, I'm not going to forgive you unless Ad shetelech l'uman shasa'ani until you go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Lo, kama Mechur, kli zeh shosisa. In other words, you go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu why he made me like this. And until then, I'm not going to forgive you. No. Elazar Shimon still wanted this person to be Meichel. He was so sorry that he did something wrong. He traveled with him, until they reached the place where they're going, constantly begging for forgiveness. But he wasn't Meichel. Now, Rabbi Elazar Shimon gets to his home city, where he is the Gadol Hador, and everybody comes out to greet him. Yatsu b'nei Yiro l'krosso, tzadik bo l'ir. So everybody comes out to greet him. They said to him, oh, shalom lech, Rebbe, Mori. They're all greeting Rabbi Elazar Shimon with such great praise. And this Adam Mechur says to them, Amalem, who are you calling this? Shalom lech, Rebbe, Mori. Lemi atem karen, Rebbe. Amalem, lozeh, shimatay lech recha. Rabbi Elazar Shimon, the man you're traveling with. And the Adam Mechur says, Amalem, really? If he is the person you're just saying is Rebbe Mori, Al Yarbu Kimoso Bisrael. There should not be a lot of people like him in Klai Yisrael. This is not your role model. They said to him, what? Amulah, he said, Ma, what are you talking about? He is the great Rebbe Elazar Shimon. Amulahem. So the other Mechur said to them, listen what he did. Kach the Kach Osoli, look what he did to me. The Ben Yoyada points out, he didn't do anything to him. He just said something. He just said, Reiko, kam muhuro so ish. That's all he said. So you see from here, the Ben Yoyada says how the power of words, look what he did to me, kach go hosili, that words can have the power to actually be shofech dam. And the Ben Yoyada points this out by saying that when you have the blood drained from your face, when you embarrass somebody, so the blood drains from the face, they get all white in the face. So therefore, it's as if you killed the person. In any event, so he said, look, kach v'kach hosili. So nevertheless, the people said, Amalo, okay, we hear you. However, af al pi kain, even though he did this to you, mecholo, he's begging for forgiveness for you. Give him mechila. Shadim gadol b'toru. He really is a great Torah scholar. Amalem. So this Adam Mechur, Elio tells them, Amalem, bishulchem, for you, hareni mecholo. I will, on behalf of the tzibur, be mecholo, Rabbi Elazar Shimon. However, he has to learn not to ever do this again. Uvachlo yeragio lasos kain. He should never do this again. He has to make himself absolutely certain that he doesn't do this again. He has to make sure that he doesn't even have a little bit of gaiva. Miyad, immediately, Rabbi Elazar Shimon understood that he did something wrong. Miyad nichnas Rabbi Elazar Shimon and Darash, and he went to the Beis Medrash, and he taught everybody this din. La'olam yodam rach kikon. A person has to be soft like a reed, bayit koshgaris, and not be hard like a cedar tree. And he explained, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked a quill to come from a kana and not to come from an Erez. That's why a quill comes from a reed. Litol emen akulmus, to make the quill, the pen, lichtol bo sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzos. That the person should be able to write a sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzos. Notice over here, it says sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzos. Before it said sefer Torah, neviim, and ksuvim. So again, it's the same idea to write divrei sta. Again, a very difficult story to fully understand, but a fascinating story. Now we quote the next part of the Mishnah. It said, "V'chein ir sheyesh ba dever o mapos v'chulei." We said you immediately are masrian if a city is faced with a dever, a certain type of a plague, o mapolis, or the buildings are falling down. So we're going to darshan the last thing. We already darshan a little bit the dever. Now we're going to darshan the mapolis. Tana Rabbanon, mapolis shiamru, that which we said that if a building is falling down, in other words, there's a collapsing buildings. It's talking about brios. This is only something that you have to be masri on if the buildings were sturdy buildings. They were brios. and not below Ruas, and not there were bad buildings that were going to fall down anyway, even if you didn't have strong winds. And then he adds in this price, so it seems to be a redundancy, and it says, Sheino Ruyos Lipol, it's talking about buildings that aren't supposed to fall down, as opposed to lower Ruyos Lipol, it's supposed to buildings that are supposed to fall down because they're not very sturdy. So this is redundant. So what it says, Hey Neo Brios, Hey Neo Sheino Ruyos Lipol. It's the same thing. If you're telling me that it's a healthy building, that's also the same thing as saying that it's not likely to fall down. So why did you repeat it? Why did you say a healthy building? And then you say, and it's a building that's not likely to fall down. It's redundant. Hainio Ruos, likewise, you said that the buildings are Ruos, they're bad buildings, they're not sturdy buildings, and then you repeat, and you say, Hainio Ruos Lipo, they're likely to fall down. Why the repetition? Why the redundancy? So where it says, no, you need it. Lo Tzricha, two possible reasons. The first one is, Denoflu Machmas Govayu, that we're dealing here with sturdy buildings, but because they're so tall, they're more likely to fall down. So Brios means that they're sturdy, and when it says, Sheino Ruos Lipo, it means that they're tall, but they're sturdy, and when these types of buildings fall down, so then you have a tzara that you have to be masri on. Alternatively, inami, the kaimun aguda denara, when it says, sheino ruyos lipo, that they're built on a riverbank, and therefore the building is sturdy, but it's going to fall down, so therefore I'd have to repeat this in the second part to say that we're talking about buildings that are eino ruyos lipo, they're not very, very tall, so they shouldn't be falling down, and they're talking about buildings that are on the riverbank. And those types of buildings, if they were inherently going to fall down, so then they're not considered those that are the ones that are eino ruyos lipo. So therefore, you need the second part to tell us, even in those situations, they have to be sturdy that they're not going to fall down, not just sturdy in the abstract. And ma'isa shahaya, ki hai ashisa ru'ua, there once was a wall that was a bad wall, the Havi by Nardoy, that was in the city of Nardoy, where Rav and Shmuel were, and Rav and Shmuel was so concerned by walking next to this wall that it may fall down, the law of a chalef, Rav and Shmuel, Tusa, the Rav and Shmuel, when they would walk, they wouldn't walk by this wall because they were concerned that it might fall down. Now, this wall was staying up there as a broken wall for a very long period of time. And Afagab de Kaimo Biyasra, even though it was in this city of Nardoy, in this situation of being a bad wall that looked like it was going to collapse any moment, it stood there for Tlesar Shnin. It stood up there for 13 years and hadn't fallen down. Nevertheless, Rav Shmuel wouldn't walk by this wall because they felt that it could fall down at any moment. Yomachad, one day, Ikla Rav Adabar Avo Lahosam. Rav Adabar Avo came to that area, to Nardoy, and he met up with Rav and Shmuel. Now, this really introduces us into a whole series of Gemaras, and we're talking about certain individuals, how great that they were. A very fascinating part of Gemara that we're now going to be going through in the next couple of days with Maisim and all sorts of fascinating stories. This is one of the most enjoyable parts of Shas. In any event, Ikla Rav Adda Bar Av, awesome. So Rav Adda Bar Av was a great, great tzaddik that comes to them. All of a sudden, Amar Shmuel Rav, Nesi Mar Nakiv. We're walking along with Rav Adda Bar Av, but let's not walk near that wall that we haven't been walking near for 13 years because we're afraid it's going to collapse. So I'm like, Rav says, Yishmuel, nah, lo tzrich noyedah. Today we don't have to worry about it. Why? Because we have an unbelievably great person with us, the Ikar Rav Adda Bar Av Bahadon. The Nofish Zuchusei, the lo mistafina. Because today we have Rav Adda Bar Av with us. And there's so great a person. He has such great zechusim. There's no way the wall is going to fall down. And therefore, I'm not afraid today that the wall is going to fall down. Again, look at the humbleness of Rav and Shmuel. Rav is the Gadol HaDor. And yet, he says, in my merit, the wall would maybe come down. I don't have enough merits. And even Shmuel doesn't have enough merits. But Rav Adda Bar Av, whoa, there's a tzaddik. There's no way the wall will fall down on him. So again, great, great idea. Now, who was Rav Adda Bar Av? So let's learn some more stories about him. Rav Huna. Rav Huna was a star pupil of Rav, a great, great person, as we'll see in stories afterwards. So Rav Huna Havalei, Ha'u Chamra, Rav Huna had some wine, but Ha'u Beisaria, in a house that was unfortunately very, very poorly built, it wasn't sturdy, and was afraid that the house would fall down. He wanted to get his wine out from there. So Ubay Lefanuya, he wanted to get his wine out, to take his wine out, but he was afraid to go into the house because maybe the wall would come down. So Ailei Rav Adda Bar Av L'Hasam. So he brings Rav Adda Bar Av with him, and they go into that house. And he's thinking, Rav Huna is thinking that in the schus of Rav Adda Bar Av, the house will fall down and I'll take out my wine. So no, they're sitting there talking Torah. Ma'ashrei b'shmaisa, they're sitting there and learning Torah. Adepanya, while they're taking out the barrels, they're learning Torah. Now, after they leave, Basa the Nofa Basa, the house falls down almost immediately. In other words, in the schus of Rav Adda Bar Av, but also probably the schus of Rav Huna, the house didn't fall down on them. But now Rav Adda Bar Av is upset. Argish Rav Adda Bar Av and Ikbit. He realized what happened. He realized that Rav Huna brought him into that house to basically protect Rav Huna while he's taking out the barrels of wine, because he assumed, correctly so, that the house would not collapse when Rav Avda Bar Rava was there. But that made Rav Avda Bar Rava upset, because Sovar, he said, Sovar lo, ki yod ami Rav Yane. He held like the opinion of Rav Yane, which is, lo'olam al yamod odu b'mokum sakana, v'yomar, osam l'nes. A person shouldn't stay in a dangerous place and say, don't worry, I have lots of zechusim, and God is going to make a nes of me. And because, number one, Shemo ain't osam l'nes. He doesn't have the zechusim, and they won't make a nes one. And even, v'im timsi lomar, and even if you want to say, osam l'nes, he does have the zechusim, and HaKosh Baruch Hu saved him. Menachem lo mischu Yosef. How's that going to happen? You have to pay the piper. So, okay, they made a miracle to save you, but that's going to cause you 10 days of putting on tefillah. That's going to cause you $10 of tzedakah that you gave. You're going to use up your zechusim in order to have deserved this nes. And therefore, Rav Avda Bar Rava was very upset. The Rav Huna, so to say, made him use up his zechusim. And that's why he says, Amar Rav Chanan, Mikra, where do we see this? The famous story of Yaakov Avinu. The Chsiv, when he comes back to meet up with Esav, he says, "The Chsiv, kartonti mikol lachasidim mikol ames asher osisu esabdecho." That maybe you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are saying that originally you promised me that I would return in without having to worry from Esav, but maybe I've used up all my zechusim with all my troubles with Laban. I used up the limited zechusim that I had. Is Yaakov Avinu talking? And therefore, I'm afraid that maybe I don't have the zechusim to get me through the next battle with Esav. So this is why Rav Avda Bar Rava was upset that maybe Rav Huna had placed him into a makom of sakana, and that he was taka saved, but he used up his zechusim. Now the obvious question is, how come Rav Avda Bar Rava was upset over here in the case with Rav Huna, but he didn't seem to be upset with Rav Shmuel? So I thought the simple teretz was because the wall didn't fall down with Rav Shmuel, and maybe Rav Huna didn't realize that they brought him there because he knew that the wall was up there for 13 years. And the Mepharshim bring down a similar idea from the Ben Yoyada that Shomer Pesayim Hashem, in that situation, since the wall hadn't fallen down in 13 years, it wasn't using up his zechusim to walk by it, since people had become accustomed to walking over there, even though Rabbi Shmuel personally did not. Nevertheless, so this is Shomer Pesayim Hashem, and that doesn't use up your zechusim. Okay. Who was Rav Avda Bar Rava? What made him so great that even Rabbi Shmuel and Rav Huna wanted him there to protect him from any potential injury? So, my have a old day, the Rav Avda Bar Rava. What made Rav Avda Bar Rava so great? What did he do? So, the Gemara says, Kiyodit Mar, as the following story tells us, Shalu Tamidav Ezra Bizeira, Yamalei, the Rav Avda Bar Rava, either they asked Rav Zeira, or for the purposes of our story, it makes sense more the Girsa, that they asked this to Rav Avda Bar Rava. They probably asked them to both, and both probably did the similar things. In any event, by Meher Achta Yomim, we find the Gemara in many places, including over here, says, to what do you attribute your long life? There were certain personal attributes that they felt that certain Amoraim and Tanoim did, that they personally said, this is my, so to say, mitzvah, this is my special thing. They did everything, of course. But by Meher Achta Yomim, what do you think attributed to your long life? So either it was Rav Zeira telling his Talmidim, and or Rav Avda Bar Rava telling his Talmidim. These are the things that I think are the zchus that I have for having lived a long life. I never got angry at the people in my house. The Mepharshim was saying, and Alak Kama Kama, the people outside his house. Right? It's much easier to get angry at the people in your house. Very frequent that Rav may hear stories from his community that the husband and wife have troubles, then the wife says that the husband always yells at me. And in the public eye, this is the most calm person, the nicest person. It's easier sometimes to be a nice guy in public. It's much harder to be a nice guy in private. In any event, he never got angry. I never got angry at anybody in my house. And obviously, the question over here is, you see that he just got angry at Rav Huna, Irgish Rav Avda Bar Rava, and Ikbit. So the answer is that was Pikuach Nefashos. He felt that that was something totally wrong. And in the matter of Pikuach Nefashos, you can't be a nice guy. You have to jump into action, and you have to take immediate action, even if it sometimes is an angering type of an answer. I also heard from a Rabbeim that the idea over here is he didn't have real anger, but he just gave the appearance of anger. I remember one of Rabbeim, when he would be stern or harsh with one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva, so then he would be stern and harsh and face the Talmud in that way, and then turn his head the other way and have a big smile on his face. In other words, he was demonstrating that I'm not really angry at him, I'm not happy with the behavior that you had, but the anger that I'm showing is an appearance of anger to demonstrate that what you did is wrong, but I'm not chas v'shalom truly angry. So maybe that's what it means also as well. Even though he was angry sometimes, but he never let it get to him. It was a superficial anger to demonstrate the displeasure with the action, but not a real anger. Furthermore, he never would walk ahead of somebody who was greater than him. Now, that's a halacha that you're not allowed to do so. But you're allowed to walk right nearby him. You don't have to be so medakdik that you don't take one step ahead of him. You're not allowed to walk far ahead of him. So therefore, he was very medakdik. He was very makbid that he wouldn't be even a little bit in front of him. He went lifnei mishur sadin. Furthermore, he wouldn't think Torah in the dirty areas if you're in around excrement, so you're not allowed to think Torah. Now, there is an opinion that says you are allowed to think Torah there, you're just not allowed to talk Torah. So he went machmir and didn't even think Torah. And now this is especially noteworthy because the next statement, below alachti dalal amos, below Torah, or below tefillah, because he was immersed in Torah. It's no big deal for a guy that learns 5 minutes a day to say, well, I never learn in the dirty areas. Well, you're only learning 5 minutes a day. So it's not a difficult thing for you not to learn Torah, to think Torah when you walk in the alleys, because most of the time you don't think Torah and learn Torah. But here, Rav Adar Rava never went Dalet Amos without learning Torah and without wearing his tefillin. And yet he was so careful never to do that in Mavos Hametunafos, in the dirty alleyways. So A, I'm also suggesting that he went out of his way not to walk in such dirty alleyways. He would take the longer route rather than take the shorter route. Furthermore, lo yishanti beis medrash, I never slept in beis medrash. Now, a person who's a talmid chacham and sits in the beis medrash all the time, so he's allowed to take a little dremel. He's allowed to eat in the beis medrash, whereas another person would not be allowed to. So even though he was allowed to, lo shinas keva, lo shinas aroi, not only would he not sleep in shinas keva, but even in shinas aroi, which he was technically allowed to, he wouldn't sleep in the beis medrash, in the beis hakneses. And therefore, that's, again, lifnei mishur sadin. And finally, lo sasti betakolos chaverai, I never was happy if I saw my friend make a mistake, if I saw my friend fall down. Min pol evecha al tismach, you shouldn't be happy when your enemy even, and certainly when your friend, does something wrong. And below karasi lechavero b'chanichaso, I never call the friend by a nickname. The din is you shouldn't call friends by a negative nickname, but technically if the friend doesn't mind, so, you know, everybody calls him whatever name they call him, and that's what he goes by, so technically he could. But he was mocked because he says probably the person doesn't like it anyway. Even though he accepts it, doesn't mind it, but he never called the person by his nickname. And v'amrei lo, others say no, b'chanichaso. He never called him by his last name. He always had a first name. He called him as a chaver, as a much more friendly way. You call somebody their first name, it's a much more friendly way than just calling them by their last name. You find that when various Rishoyim would attack David HaMelech, they would call him Ben Yishai, or they would attack Moshe Rabbeinu, they would call him Ben Amram. It's because that's like the last name. That's, you're not even giving him credit for being an individual. You're just so-and-so's son. So that's a knock on him. So he was very, very careful to always call everybody by the B'chavadik of first name. Every one of these matters was lifnei mishur sadin. He went out of his way to do something. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went lifnei mishur sadin to give him a longer life than he might otherwise have had. Amalei Rava l'rafim bar papa. Rava says to Rafa bar papa, Leim alon mar, tell me please, mehani milim ayiso dahava ovid Rav Huna. Tell me some of the great things that Rav Huna did. Now, the Gemara is probably throwing this in over here because we just said Rav Huna was being yelled at, so to say, by Rav Adar Rava, and one might have gotten the impression that Rav Huna wasn't a great, great, great individual. So to negate that right away, Gemara tells us, tell us something great about Rav Huna. So that's what Rava says to Rafa bar papa, tell me something great about Rav Huna. So Rafa says back to Rava, he says, Biankuse in his youth, lo dechirna. I didn't know him then, so I don't really know any stories about him when he was a young Talmud Chacham. However, Besivuse dechirna. But when he became a Saba, when he became older, so then, I knew him well, and I can tell you how great he was. For example, the Kol Yoma de Eva, on any cloudy day, Habu Mafkinle Beguharka de Dava, they would go carry him out. He was very, very wealthy, and they would carry him out on this golden chair, right? He didn't walk. They carried him out on this golden chair. And what would he do? Besirele, he would go and investigate Lakula Masa, the entire city, to see if there are any dangers in the city, such as dangerous walls that could be collapsing. The whole Ashisa, the Havas Riyasa, and if he saw a wall that was dangerous and not very sturdy, and it looked like it might fall down, Havasasala, he would go and knock it down with his own dime. He paid for it to knock it down. And then, E.F. Sholomara Bonila, if the person whose wall it was, who should have knocked it down, had the money to go and rebuild it, so then he would let the owner go and rebuild it. However, Vilovshev was a poor person, so Boni Lei Ihu Midide, he would go and rebuild that wall at his own pocket, out of his own pocket, out of his own money. And therefore, that was one of the great things that Rav Huna did. And furthermore, V'chol Panyo Demali Shabbato, every Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, Havim Shadir Shlucha L'Shuka, he would go send his agents to the marketplace, he would send his messengers to the marketplace to buy up all the leftover vegetables. The choyark could have a payishlu leginoi, and any vegetables that were not sold, that were still in the hands of the people that grew them, so he would go buy them. Zovin le vishadi le lanaira. He would go buy those vegetables, and then, surprisingly, he would go throw them in the river. And the purpose of this was so that the people that were selling the vegetables would next week. Also bring plentiful numbers of vegetables so there shouldn't be a shortage of vegetables for Shabbos in the marketplace. Because if they each week had left over, they would bring less the next week, and that could lead to not enough vegetables in the marketplace. So he would purchase all the leftover vegetables from them, but then he didn't use them. He threw them in the water. He didn't need them for himself, so he threw them in the water. And the Gemara is obviously going to question why he threw them in the water. So Gemara says, why throw them in the garbage? Why throw them in the water? Give them to poor people. So again, he had a reason. Zimnin, he said, the samchud that tayu, the poor people who say, oh, every week I get vegetables, I'm not going to go buy vegetables. I don't have to go out and try to earn a little bit of parnasa to go get vegetables. I'm going to get free vegetables from Rav Huna. But that was Rav Huna only purchasing whatever wasn't sold. What happens if one week everything was sold? The loss will amenzvat. So Rav Huna wouldn't have to go and buy it, and the poor aniyim would have no vegetables at all. So in this situation, he didn't want to get them to be reliant upon him for vegetables, because some weeks they may not be vegetables. Okay, so then ulshadi lebehema. So instead of just throwing it in the water, give it at least to the animals. Again, he had a reason. Kostava, Rav Huna said, Michael Adam, this is food that's fit for a human being. It's pasnish, it's inappropriate. Ein machil lebehema. You don't give food that's fit for a human being to an animal. I said, the obvious kasha is, so then when he threw them in the water, he's destroying it. How's that proper to go and destroy food that's fit for a human being? So the Mefarshim explained that those vegetables would be in the water, but they wouldn't sink in the water, they would flow down the river, and the people downstream would go take the vegetables. So the poor people downstream would look to the river to see if there were vegetables. Aye, how is that any different than he didn't want to give it to the aniyim, and the aniyim would get dependent upon it, because the poor people in downstream of the river, they knew they couldn't depend upon this, because number one, somebody else may pick it up. Who says it's going to come to them? Maybe somebody further upstream will get it from them. And second of all, it didn't always flow in the same place, Mr. Omar, so some weeks it would be there, some weeks it would be not. So this way, he ended up giving it to the poor people, but in a way that they wouldn't be dependent upon. Brilliant. In any event, the Gemara says, below Lisbon A. Klal, so why did he buy them at all? If he wasn't planning on using them for anything, so what was the purpose of buying them? So as I mentioned already before, Nimtzis Machshilin Lasud Lobo, because then the people would not want to bring a lot of food next week to the marketplace. And therefore, if he didn't buy up their food, they didn't sell out their wares. So next week, instead of bringing 100 bushels, they bring 90 bushels. They only sold 90 bushels. And then there would be a run on the market. There wouldn't be enough food. The Ben Yehuda asked, so why not leave the vegetables with the farmers? So why throw them in the river? Say, okay, I'm buying it up. And this way, next week, you'll bring the same amount because you're not concerned. So Ben Yehuda says, no. If they knew that he would buy up whatever was left over automatically, so they'd bring extra in the hopes that, well, Rav Huna is going to buy it up anyway, so let's bring, instead of 100 bushels, which is a normal amount, we'll bring 120 bushels. And this way, they would be bringing unnecessary extra food to the marketplace, and therefore Rav Huna didn't want to just pay them and not take the vegetables. This way, they would bring the same amount, because they knew that there would be a certain amount that Rav Huna would buy up, but excessive, he would not. And he took it from them, so they didn't realize, maybe, that he wasn't using it himself. And the Gemara says, Ki havale milso de asusa, another great example of Rav Huna, when he had a remedy. He had a milsa da susa. That's a certain type of medication that would be a remedy that people would need. So have a mole kuza mine, instead of the word demaya, because it wasn't water. So he filled up a jug of this medication and the tolile besefa de besa, and he would hang it up in the front of his house, v'omar, and he would say, call the boy, anybody that needs this medication, leisei v'lishko, come and take it for free. Alternatively, the Iko de Amri, others say that it was Musa de Shifta Havagomir. He knew the Shifta. Shifta is a certain type of a shade who would go and kill people or attack people if their hands were unclean, if they had tumma on their hands. And therefore, he knew this. And therefore, Vavimonach Kuza de Maya. Here's where we have the Lashon of de Maya. The first version, it shouldn't have been Maya because it was medication. But the second version was just water because they didn't have public water fountains. They didn't have public places to wash. So he would bedavka. If somebody's hands became dirty, they know they could run to Rav Huna's house and go and wash the hands. Have a monach kuza de maya, bedolile, and he would attach it to the ceiling of his house. Ba'amar, call ditzrich, anybody that needs water, leisei, can come here, v'leyo, and take this water, the lulistakin, the shifta, the shade, shouldn't be able to attack them because they had tumma on their hands. Similarly, ki have a karach rifta, when he would go and sit down and make a sandwich, when he had bread, have a pasuk lubabi, he would open up the doors to his house. When he would eat lunch, he would invite everybody in who needed to eat lunch. Anybody that needs food, can come and eat with me. So again, Rav Huna was a great, great person. Shouldn't think otherwise, but just because of the story of Rav Ada Bar Abba. Amar Rava, Rava says, I also do all these things. Kulu matzina mikaimna. I also do all the things that Rav Huna does, but levar miha, except for this last one that I can't do. Why? Because the lo motzina lemevat, I can't go and feed the entire people of my community. which we turn to Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, is the city of Mechuzah. He was the Rav of Mechuzah, Mishum Denefishe Bnei Chayla, the Mechuzah, because they're just Nebuch, too many poor people in Mechuzah. Where Rav Huna lived, maybe there were five people that were coming to lunch. Yeah, I'd get 500 people coming into lunch, and I just either can't afford to do this, or I do not have the ability to do this. This concludes these series of fascinating stories. Now, Emet Hashem will continue with more fascinating stories in the upcoming days. With this, we conclude today's share.